Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
What creepy thing scared you so much that it wouldn't stop bothering you? Story 1. I was visiting family for winter break in Los Angeles about 5 years ago. I was heading to the bathroom on the second floor of my aunt's house when I saw my cousin April on the stairs. She was 4 years old and very animated, making funny faces while sitting on the stairs. I asked her what she was doing. She said, "I'm copying the lady with the braid." I looked around. There was no one else there. I asked, "Where is the lady, April?" She pointed to a beam running parallel to the stairwell. I asked her, "What is the lady doing?" She said, "Making funny faces." I smiled and started walking up the stairs again, when April said something that stopped me cold. "Her braid's around her neck," she said. I turned back and asked her to repeat herself. April pointed and said, "The lady is hanging by her braid. She's making funny faces." Then April started mimicking a face, and I realized she was imitating someone gasping for air. Creepy as hell. Before we continue, do us a quick favor. Smash that like button and subscribe to support our channel. Story 2. This happened to a very close friend of mine. We'll call him Josh. Josh and his family frequently visited his grandparents and would often stay overnight. Many years ago on one of these trips, Josh got the privilege of having his own room. Even though he was fairly young, he stayed in a guest room that was quite large for his needs, fully furnished with everything from a wardrobe to a large mirror on the wall. Anyway, bedtime came, and Josh drifted off to sleep. For no apparent reason, Josh woke up in the middle of the night. He turned to check the alarm clock near his bed. It read around 3 a.m. Sleepily taking one last look around the room, his gaze fell on the mirror. He saw himself reflected, but also someone else, standing behind the headboard of his bed. He described the figure as a medium-build Hispanic man wearing a plaid t-shirt and a hat. Naturally, Josh was terrified. I don't know what I would have done in his situation, but Josh said he pulled the covers over his head, panicked for a couple of hours, and eventually fell back asleep, trying to forget the whole thing. 6 years later, Josh asked his family about the experience. His grandparents and parents told him that, a long time ago, a man had died of a heart attack in the bed Josh had been sleeping in, presumably the room, not the exact bed. Josh looked at some pictures of the man and realized it was the same person he had seen in the mirror. Remarkably, Josh had never seen or heard of this man at all when he saw him 6 years earlier. Story 3. This happened recently to some family members. My uncle was at his sister's house when her grandson said he was going to run out to get food and asked if my uncle wanted to come along. He agreed but said he needed to put his shoes on and would meet him upstairs in a few minutes. As the grandson walked down the hall, my uncle started putting on his shoes. When he looked up, he saw the boy standing in the hallway, just staring at him. He repeated that he would meet him upstairs, and the boy turned, walked into the bathroom at the end of the hall, and began combing his hair. My uncle finished putting his shoes on, and when he looked toward the bathroom, the boy was closing the door, thinking he just needed to use the bathroom. My uncle decided to wait until he came out and kept watching TV. He waited, and waited, and waited. 30 minutes passed. Finally, my uncle went upstairs to wait for him and discovered that the grandson had left a long time ago. A few minutes later, the grandson returned. Totally confused, my uncle asked him when he had left the bathroom. The boy had no idea what he was talking about and said he had never combed his hair or done any of that. On top of that, the boy got a little freaked out and shared his own story. One night, he stayed in the house and got up in the middle of the night to get a glass of water from the kitchen. His grandmother was sitting at the table, no lights on, completely still. He stood there for a minute, feeling uneasy, then walked back to his room. When he got back, his grandmother was asleep in her room. Apparently, my aunt has no idea these things happen. They don't want her to be scared in her own house. But seriously, what the heck? Story 4. I have a cousin who lives in a secluded area where everyone owns land. He has around 600 acres where he lets his cattle roam freely. One summer, I went to visit him, and he suggested we go camping. He has a little spot with a teepee in a clearing, under a few large trees. A walking path goes straight through the clearing, down a small trail to a pond, and then back up into some trees. To get there, we drove his truck through the pasture up to the tree line, then had to walk a bit into the trees. Thinking back, I can't really remember how far in the camping site was, but it was a little walk. So it was my cousin, his girlfriend, a friend she brought, and myself. We started drinking and had a small campfire going. Someone threw a little too much brush on the fire, and it got pretty big, even lighting some of the branches of the trees above. It was kind of scary at the moment, thinking we almost started a huge fire, but it grew and died down pretty quickly. Later that night, we were all drinking, and I was tending the fire. The girlfriend said out loud that she needed to use the restroom, and I assumed she went down the path near the pond. The fire was starting to die down, so I went to gather more brush and started walking toward the pond path. As I walked down the path, I saw a shadow holding a tree branch up, seemingly looking back at me. Remembering that the girlfriend had said she needed to use the restroom, I assumed it was her and called out her name. The shadow immediately dropped the branch and disappeared. At that same moment, I heard the girlfriend shout back at me from the campsite. I looked back and saw her coming out of the teepee from a distance. Glancing back at the brush, I saw nothing. No movement at all. Completely shocked and confused, I started walking back to the camp. My heart racing so fast, I thought I might pass out. When I got back, everyone was there. I told them what had just happened, and everyone got a little freaked out. My cousin brushed it off, saying we were out on his land, and there was no way anyone could be out there. We eventually kept drinking, but I couldn't forget about it. Much later, I was getting tired, and my cousin was looking to fool around with his girlfriend, so we all lay down in the tepee. I was lying next to the friend, just trying to fall asleep while I could hear them whispering and talking. Suddenly, I heard the running thud of footsteps outside the tent, as if something was running at it, followed by a kind of pop and drag, like something had hit the tent and dragged against it. My cousin leapt up, yelling, and now we were all terrified. He shouted that we needed to get out of there immediately, so we left everything behind and ran straight to his truck. We drove back to the house, scared out of our minds, talking about what had just happened and what I had seen earlier. As we discussed it, we all agreed that the thuds sounded like they had 2 feet. You could hear the difference from a deer or horse galloping. The thuds were heavy, like whatever it was carrying a lot of weight. My cousin said he had been lying near the edge of the tepee when he heard the steps and looked up to see something hit and drag something across the fabric right above him. The fact that he was genuinely scared made it even more frightening for us, since he had lived on that land his whole life and had been to that campsite countless times. Story 5. When I was 10, my parents worked as night cleaners for the Keg restaurant in Toronto. Sometimes they brought my uncle along for extra help, and he'd bring his girlfriend too. I mostly hung out with his girlfriend while the rest went to work. One night, his girlfriend and I were playing cards in one of the booths and fell asleep. We were suddenly woken up by my uncle screaming that we had to go to the basement and hurry. Groggy, we started following him, but he seemed very far ahead. When I turned the corner, I bumped into him and asked where the basement was and what the emergency was. He said he had been following my parents, who were yelling from across the room for him to get to the basement. Confused, we caught up with my uncle's girlfriend, who had bumped into my parents. They said they had heard our voices coming from the basement, and my father had gone to get the spare keys because the basement was locked. It seemed like something or someone was trying to lure us down there. Story 6. My parents were on their honeymoon in Key West. When they arrived at the hotel to check in, they were told their room would be non-smoking. Since my dad was a smoker, they requested a different room. They got the room switch and headed to their assigned room. As they got off the elevator, the smell of fresh paint was overwhelming. Down the hall, there was a painter with all his supplies laid out, painting the wall. My parents casually greeted him as they walked past, but he gave absolutely no acknowledgement of their presence. Whatever, they didn't think much of it. When they got to their room, the smell of paint was even worse, so bad it wasn't bearable. They decided to go back to the front desk to request another room. When they explained the situation, the attendant looked very confused and informed them that there wasn't a scheduled paint job on that floor that day. Still, he agreed to change their room. My parents went back to their floor to grab their luggage, and the painter was completely gone. All the supplies were cleaned up and gone within 10 minutes, and the smell of paint had completely disappeared. At this point, my parents were freaked out, but they didn't dwell on it and went to their new room. The next morning, on their way to breakfast, they overheard a tour guide talking to a group. My parents tuned in when the guide mentioned the floor they had originally been assigned. Apparently, a long time ago, a painter had been working on that floor and fell down the elevator shaft to his death. Now, my parents don't normally believe in the paranormal, but after an event like this, one they had no explanation for, it freaked them out quite a bit. Story 7. I lived in Savannah, Georgia, for about 10 years. One night, my partner and I were startled awake at the exact same time, and without looking, we both asked simultaneously, "Are you awake?" Just as we were about to laugh, the loud rotating fan we kept by the bed shut off. Normally, this wouldn't matter. The old city had blackouts all the time, but we didn't have long to think about it. About 2 seconds after the fan died, just as we turned our heads toward the sudden silence, our bedroom door began violently rattling, as if someone in a panic were trying to force it open. I didn't stop to think. I instantly assumed our small, timid female roommate might be in trouble. Running on pure adrenaline, I leapt out of bed, grabbed the shaking doorknob, and swung the door open. No one was there. The door hadn't even been locked. From that spot, I could see the whole apartment, dark, silent, and empty. A moment later, the fan whirred back to life. The entire event lasted only a minute or two, from the moment we woke up to the fan turning back on. Afterward, I checked the apartment for intruders, made sure our roommate was still asleep, and we tried to settle back into bed, though the unease lingered, growing heavier the longer we thought about it. Story 8. This happened in an apartment I lived in the Lakeview neighborhood of Chicago.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Illinois. I moved into the place, a typical Chicago 4+1, in September 2003, and my husband, then boyfriend, moved in the following month, October 2003. We had two cats, a light orange tabby, and a mostly white calico. I still have them. I had a few strange experiences in that apartment, but what I'm sharing here was the first and the most terrifying. I've had other paranormal encounters since I moved out, but none of them hold a candle to this one. It took me 8 years to come to terms with it. I'm a very logical person, and for the longest time, I couldn't explain what happened. One thing I know for sure, it absolutely did. In late summer to early fall 2004, I went to bed, but as usual, couldn't fall asleep. Our cats normally slept with me, but they didn't that night, so I sat up, hoping to spot them in the faint light coming through the windows. I focused down the short hallway to see if they were playing, and that's when I saw it, a very dark, velvety black mass just past where the hallway ended and the dining area began. It stood about 7 feet high, with a rough head and shoulders shape, then faded away below the torso. At first, I wasn't alarmed. If anything, I leaned forward, trying to get a better look because I simply couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was baffled. But when I leaned closer, the figure seemed to turn and look directly at me. In that instant, I saw two red eyes in its head. I didn't notice any other features, and I can't recall whether the eyes were glowing or just flat red, but they were definitely red. That detail is what made it so hard to come to terms with the experience. Red eyes belong in horror movies and scary stories, not reality. When the thing looked at me, my amazement and confusion flipped to fear. Then it swooped through the bedroom doorway toward us. I did the only thing I could think to do. Duck under the covers like a kid hiding from the boogeyman. I was terrified. I've been in scary situations, but this fear felt primal and almost unearthly. After a few moments, I started to run out of air under the blankets, so I elbowed my sleeping husband in the ribs hard enough to wake him. He sat up, and when he didn't react strangely, I figured the thing was gone, and it was. I couldn't bring myself to get up to use the bathroom in the middle of the night for weeks after that, and if I did wake, I made a point not to look at the doorway. My husband and I saw the shadow again later, but it never seemed remotely as threatening. Story 9. One of my mom's friends bought an old farmhouse about a year ago. They have a 3-year-old son who had an imaginary friend named Kevin. He would play with his toys in his room and talk to Kevin. At first, his parents didn't think much of it, given his age. It got strange when they started listening to their son's conversations with Kevin over the baby monitor. He was talking about things a 3-year-old normally wouldn't. The kid was goofy, so they didn't think too much of it at first. When they asked about Kevin, he said Kevin was nice and that he was a farmer. They figured that was just because their son loved playing with toy tractors and they had recently moved into a farmhouse. Then, things got real. There was a shelf mounted on the wall of the kid's room, about 5 feet off the floor, directly opposite the bed. One morning, the parents went into their son's room to find one of the stuffed animals from the shelf sitting on his bed. They asked him how it got there. He said Kevin had given it to him. A few months passed, and things like this happened now and then. Nothing that couldn't be reasonably explained. Since moving in, they had found a local church and gotten involved in a Bible study with a few other couples. They decided to host the Bible study at their home one day. While giving their address to one of the couples who had lived in town for a while, the wife looked at it and said to her husband, "Hey, isn't this Kevin's old place?" Apparently, a man named Kevin used to live there. He ran into financial troubles, selling most of his land to a neighboring farm, but keeping the small patch with the house. He struggled with depression and had a drinking problem, eventually ended himself in the house. Their friend from church knew Kevin. In that small Iowa town, everyone knew everyone. He found a picture of Kevin and gave it to my mom's friend. The photo showed Kevin with three other men he would meet to have coffee and talk about farming. When they showed the picture to the kid, he pointed at Kevin and said, "Hey, look, it's Kevin." They moved shortly after. Story 10. About 5 years ago, I was watching two of my younger cousins while their parents were out for the night. The girl was 11, her younger brother around 6 or 7, and I was 17. They live in a very old, fairly large house built in the early 1900s. It wasn't extremely creepy except for the basement, which was a nightmare. But one feature I always thought was cool was the indoor balcony. If you walked in the front door and looked straight up, there was a balcony on the second floor, accessed through a closet in the master bedroom that faced the upstairs hallway. That night, the girl was in her room reading, her brother asleep, and I was in the living room, really just a wide open area off the main entrance, doing homework. Periodically, I heard squeaking and what I can only describe as shuffling sounds, like the rustle of jeans while walking or the movement of arms in a big coat, but louder. At first, I didn't think much of it. From where I was sitting, the balcony was behind me and to the right, and I could partially see the upstairs hallway. At some point, I heard my cousin, the girl, open her door and head to the bathroom. If you were on the balcony, you'd be looking across a roughly 15-foot gap directly at the bathroom door. When she came out, I didn't hear any footsteps for a moment, so I called her name. She responded with a scared whimper, "He's scaring me," and ran down the stairs to me. This is where it got really creepy. She told me that when she came out of her room, she saw an older man in a suit on the balcony, flailing his arms with an angry look on his face, possibly the source of the shuffling noises I had heard. But when she came out of the bathroom, he was just standing perfectly still, staring at her with the same expression. I looked up toward the balcony as she described it, and there was no one there. We went up to her parents' bedroom to check the access closet to the balcony, but it was locked. I don't doubt that she saw something. She wasn't the kind of kid to make ridiculous stuff up, and she was on the verge of tears. I've never experienced anything else creepy at that house, but damn, that story still sends chills down my spine. Story 11. I work the evening shift at a hospital that, according to at least 90% of the staff, is haunted. I'm part of that 90%. There are horror stories about every building, every floor, and pretty much every part of the campus. I mostly wander around alone as a housekeeper, which makes it even worse, at least when my mind is on it. Most of the time, I try not to think about it. My personal experience happened back in the ultrasound wing of the radiology clinic. By the time I get to that area, the lights automatically dim, and there's nothing I can do about it. It's always spooky back there at night, so I usually just get my work done and move on. The layout is kind of shaped like a J, a long hallway that curves around. On the inner side of the curve, there's a dressing room that opens into a mammography suite, which then opens again to the top of the J. If you're standing at the bottom of the J, you can see through the doors of both rooms, all the way to the top. I was standing back there, tying a bag on my cart, when something moved in the corner of my eye. I looked up and through the dressing and mammography rooms to the doorway opposite me. Vividly, I remember it like it was yesterday. A male figure walked past the doorway, right before my eyes. I literally watched it amble slowly across my field of vision. There are no male ultrasound techs here, and it definitely wasn't my boss. It looked like it was wearing dark clothing and had long hair, but it was definitely male. I snapped out of it and ran over to see if some intruder had wandered in, but no one was there. I grabbed my stuff and ran out without finishing all my work, because screw that. Another story, not my personal experience, comes from the second floor of the hospital. This floor has nothing but offices and computer labs, all along a single corridor that spans the length of the building. At one end are the elevators, and at the other are double doors leading into a computer lab. This floor is infamous for something the workers affectionately call Matilda. The first story I heard about her came from a coworker who knew someone that worked on that floor. One night, this person was finishing up office work and heading home late. As he walked toward the elevators, something caught his eye, so he looked toward the computer lab. At the end of the hallway, he saw what looked like a patient peeking into the lab. He walked toward her and asked who she was and what floor she came from. She turned around and she had no face. The office guy was frozen in place, scared out of his mind. He wanted to run, but he couldn't take his eyes off whatever was staring at him from the end of the hall. What did he do instead? He closed his eyes as tightly as he could. After several seconds, maybe minutes, or however long it really was, he opened them and she was gone. He said he's never run so fast in his life, straight outside without ever looking back. Another Matilda incident happened when one of the managers left a tape recorder running in his office on the second floor, hoping to catch any weird noises or voices. The next day, I was walking by with a coworker when he called us in and played the recording. After a long silence, a faint voice came through saying, "Turn it off." That was spooky as hell. There are plenty more stories from that hospital from hell, but that's all I have time for right now. I'm more than willing to share more later. Story 12. A while back, a family moved in next door to us. They had a son who was just twisted, obsessed with slasher movies. He always wanted me to recount things from my time serving in Vietnam that no normal person would ever want to hear. He also loved tormenting stray animals. Honestly, the kid was a complete whack job. He was 19 at the time, and my daughter was 7, but he always tried to talk to her. He'd strike up conversations when she walked home from school, chat over the fence while she played in the yard, and then one day he even called our house looking for her. That was it. I went over, flipped out at him and his parents, told him to stay the hell away from her, and made it very clear I didn't ever want to see him again. That's when things started to get weird. My daughter had always been a little imaginative and paranoid, often worrying about monsters under her bed. So, when she told me there was something living in her closet, something that terrified her at night but seemed to vanish during the day, we initially blew it off, thinking it was no big deal. A few weeks went by, and one night my wife and daughter were staying at my mother's for a girls' night. So I settled in downstairs, turned on HBO, and fell asleep watching movies. Around 2 a.m., I got a call from my neighbor, the one with the creepy son. They said something along the lines of, "We saw that you were up, so we called. Our son is missing." I went by his room to use the bathroom, and his door was open, which isn't usual. He's a private kid, and there was no sign of him. We need help looking for him. The call woke me up, and I told them I hadn't been up. They replied, "Oh, we saw you walking around upstairs, and the light was on." My blood ran cold as ice. I had been passed out on the couch and I knew no one had turned any lights on. I hung up on them and ran outside to my truck to grab my shotgun. But by then, I noticed the sheriff pulling up to the neighbor's house. I rushed over and told him there was someone in my house. I could now see the lights in my daughter's room were on, and a silhouette was pacing back and forth. When the deputies went in, they found the neighbor boy waiting in her room with a small setup in her closet. He said he liked to watch her sleep in the moonlight. Story 13. I used to work for my dad, who was partially self-employed, doing regular maintenance and floor refinishing for a childcare program called Head Start. One of the centers was in an old school, built not long after the turn of the century. It also served as a church functions building, in addition to housing Head Start and another childcare program. We always did the floors over the summer. Anyone who has stripped and waxed floors knows that when you're putting the coating back on, it's quiet and almost relaxing. We were the only people in the building since it was a midsummer weekend, and yet something felt off even before we entered, like someone was watching from the second floor windows. So there we were, making slow progress across this huge room, when we heard a thunk upstairs and stopped. Then it sounded like someone was skipping across the room and back, a few times before stopping again. We finished that layer and went upstairs. Mind you, the upstairs consisted of a few classrooms with shelves blocking direct movement from one end to the other, all filled with supplies from the classes. Nobody was up there, so we closed the doors and went back downstairs to start the other room. Once again, the sound started, but this time I sprinted upstairs. The noise stopped before I reached the hall, yet all of the doors were open at various angles. We didn't hear the sound again that summer, but my dad asked the child care advisor from the other end of the building if they had noticed anything strange. She said no, but mentioned that one day, while the kids were sitting down for snacks, a couple of them were staring into a corner. The aide asked what they were looking at, and one of the kids asked, "Why can't that girl eat with us?" The aide looked around and asked, "What girl?" The child pointed to the corner and said, "The little girl in the white dress." I haven't set foot in that building since, and I have no desire to. I used to think ghosts were just for scary stories, but now I struggle to believe this wasn't real. Story 14. When I was younger, I used to have horrible night terrors, waking while they were still happening, with voices yelling that they were going to kill me. One night I was sent to bed early for something I don't remember, and the rest of the house went downstairs while I was supposed to be asleep. Of course I couldn't sleep. I lay awake listening to my parents talk. Around 9:30 to 10 o'clock, I began to feel strange, like something was in the hallway, but it felt harmless. Then I got a sudden urge to get up and go see what was there. My room was set up so I couldn't see the hallway from my bed. There was a wall with my closet, then the door. I slid out of bed, crept to the doorway, and looked down the hall. I will never forget what I saw. A long, cloudy black figure crouched there, with semi-glowing red eyes and very long fingers. It watched me, and I was frozen, locked on its gaze. I somehow knew it hated me with every ounce of its being, and then it began to move toward me like an ape. As it moved toward me, I heard my parents start coming upstairs, and the figure melted into the floor, but not before making it clear it would find me later. I bolted back into bed, crying a little from the shock and the hatred I felt from it. Fast forward to college, I told a few friends the story, and we started searching online for images. After a long time, I finally came across a photo that matched what I had seen, and nearly had a full-blown panic attack. They're called shadow people, or shadow men, and can be either benign or dangerously harmful. I still wonder when I will see it again, and whether it will finish what it seemed to intend nearly 10 years earlier. Story 15. When I was young, I visited my grandpa. He was caretaking a multimillionaire's ranch while the previous caretaker was recovering from rotator cuff surgery. One day, he took me into the previous caretaker's house and a few other buildings and had me flip the breakers off every one of them. I assumed it was routine maintenance. That night at about 11:30, I was sitting on the couch watching the news when he called me onto the porch. He pointed at the caretaker's house, the one whose breakers we had turned off, and said three lights were on. I grabbed binoculars and looked through the windows. No one inside, no movement, nothing. He looked over at me and said, "That's the third time this week." The first time I went over with my 357 expecting someone had broken in. But when I got to the house, the door was locked, just like I'd left it. I went inside and nothing was out of order except a bar stool pulled out. Sure enough, we went over and found the same, nothing out of order, except the bar stool. I went downstairs to check the breaker box, and the moment I opened it, the lights went off upstairs. I quickly wizened up and got the hell out of there. Story 16. Spring break of 2010. My buddies and I decided to camp on an island at a local lake. One night, while we were cooking food and drinking beer, a canoe floated by with one guy in it. He asked how we were doing, and we invited him onto the island for grilled meat and beers. Being in South Arkansas, we naturally assumed everyone was friendly and wanted to hang out. His name was Kurt. He was super friendly but seemed sad. We asked what was wrong, and he said, "Oh, nothing really, it's just that my friends are probably worried about me." Then he looked at me, winked, and added, "They'll find out soon enough." That still haunts me to this day. Everyone liked Kurt, and since it was getting dark and he had been drinking, we offered to let him stay with us that night. He declined, saying he had to get to where he was going, and he seemed very adamant about it. I asked where he was headed, thinking maybe we could give him a ride on a jet ski or something. Kurt ignored the question and said, "You boys don't know how lucky you are." Then he hopped back in his canoe and left. We didn't think much of it at the time. The next morning, we woke up early to fish. As we were out on the water, a police boat pulled up. The officer asked if we were part of the search party that had found the body. We had no idea what he was talking about, so he told us a story about a young man in a canoe who had disappeared the week before. Divers had found his body at the bottom of the lake 2 days earlier. The young man's name was Kurt Clark. That freaked us out so badly that we packed up and left camp that same day. Story 17. I was stuck in a bathroom in a creepy house my family was staying at. I was home alone. You had to force the door into the jamb to get it to close and latch, only to discover that the knob didn't work the latch. I heard the side door slam shut downstairs and thought my dad was home. I called, "Dad, Dad, I'm stuck in the bathroom." I heard him walking on the hardwood through the kitchen and down the hall, stopping at the bottom of the stairs. "Dad, I'm locked in," I yelled. I immediately heard him run up the stairs and stop at the top. "Once more," I exclaimed, "I'm locked in the bathroom." Four more steps to the other side of the door. "Dad?" And boom, the door swung open and slammed into the wall. I stepped into the hall and looked around. No one, no one at all. I politely said, "Thank you," and went straight to bed. Story 18. When my son was a baby, from newborn to 8 months old, we lived in a small apartment in an old building. He must have been about 7 months old when this happened. Over the past year living there, I had occasionally woken up to the sight of a human-shaped, transparent white thing standing at the end of the bed. As soon as it seemed to realize I was awake, it would drift away toward the wall. At least, that's what I assumed. Each time I saw it, I tried not to make a big deal out of it. Pregnant women are supposed to have crazy dreams, right? Same goes for sleep-deprived new parents. Until one night, I woke up to my son cooing, and he was pointing at the white figure. We both clearly saw it, though of course he couldn't say anything. That was when I became fairly certain I wasn't just imagining things. Soon after, we moved to a different apartment in the same building. There had been a leak that needed to be fixed. Suddenly, I found I was no longer afraid of using the bathroom in the dark. In the apartment with the white figure, the bathroom mirror had always given me that heart-racing, scared-of-the-dark feeling, and I had just assumed I was afraid of mirrors in the dark in general. But after we moved, there were no problems, and no more figure watching us sleep. My son now absolutely loves this story. He wishes he could remember it. Story 19. I have a younger brother who had an imaginary friend when he was very young. He was also an avid sleepwalker. When he was around 3 or 4, he started talking to someone he called Freya. He described Freya as a dark-skinned man, wearing very little, who loved to hunt in the wilderness. One day he told me Freya used to live near our house long ago, until some white people came and destroyed his village. Not something you expect to hear from a 4-year-old. I remember hearing him in my room, talking like he was having a conversation. Whenever I tried to check on him, he would immediately go silent and turn his head as soon as I peeked around the corner. Very unsettling. My other brother, the middle child, was visiting his dad for the summer. But the day before he returned, my youngest told my mother and me, "Freya does not like when brother is mean to me. He's going to scare him." The night he came home, my mom and I were downstairs when we heard a scream I can still hear to this day. We ran upstairs to find the middle brother swearing that someone had been shaking his bunk bed violently. My youngest was sound asleep. 1 month later, the youngest took a bad fall and cracked his skull. He was okay, but he never spoke to Freya again after that. He kept sleepwalking constantly, and would show up right next to my bed and stare at me until I woke up and promptly crap myself. One night I heard the front door open and close at 4 a.m., so I went out to check. At the far end of the yard, in the snow and only in his underwear, he was standing and staring right at me. Then he slowly waved. Those shivers weren't from the cold. Story 20. My wife and I woke up in the middle of the night to find all the lights in the house off, even though we hadn't lost power. The living room light, which we always leave on overnight, had been turned off. The bathroom nightlight had been removed and placed under the sink. The computer was unplugged and the monitor cord had been unplugged and neatly folded on the desk. All the doors and windows in the house were unlocked, undamaged and standing wide open. Our bedroom door was open, and the TV we usually fall asleep to was turned off. Nothing had been taken. Our cats were both hiding behind the refrigerator and stayed there for most of the next day. After that night, whenever someone knocked at the door, our larger cat would growl and stare at it. She no longer does this since we moved. We also experienced a few other mildly strange things in that apartment, all in the same context as that night. Story 21. This happened to me and my dad about 10 years ago, back when I was little. He actually wrote about it on Reddit a while ago, so here's his account from his point of view. I experienced a similar phenomenon in my daughter's bedroom. I noticed a weird shadow in the corner of her room that had never been there before. It was an odd dog-shaped shadow like the head and shoulders of a German shepherd. After tucking her in at night, I noticed it. At first, I paid very little attention. 2 nights later, I was compelled to try to find the source of the new shadow. I turned off lights, put my hand in front of the Venetian blinds over the window, and examined ambient light sources. Nothing I did affected the shadow or allowed me to trace its source. It was bizarre, but I still wasn't terribly spooked. Then one night, I found myself sleeping in my daughter's bed. Her brother had kicked me out of my own bed after snuggling in between my wife and me. My daughter was away camping with her grandparents, so I took her bed. Around 3 in the morning, my foot brushed against the wall near the shadow. For some reason, my body recoiled as if an instinctive visceral impulse was telling me not to touch it. It was so jarring that I woke up slightly. Only then did I start to feel more suspicious about the strange shadow. It was as if something deeper and more primitive than my subconscious was warning me about its true nature. I almost instantly dismissed the thought, brushing it off as paranoia. But it resurfaced the next night, when my daughter came home and I was tucking her in. Out of nowhere, she said, "Have you noticed that shadow there, the one in the corner? I've never noticed it before, but it's been here since last week." I was stunned that she, too, had noticed it was new. Like me, she couldn't determine its source. It was just suddenly there. I carried out my duty as a parent and pretended it was nothing, calling it a trick of the light. I paid it no further attention and encouraged her to do the same. Then, a few nights later, I was unsettled once again, when just as mysteriously as it had appeared, it vanished. Nothing in her room had changed. Same furniture, same Venetian blinds, same light fixtures, everything the same. And yet, the shadow was gone. What the hell was it? What created it? Why did my body, quite apart from my conscious mind, recoil when my foot brushed it? I'm a grown man and I'm still perplexed by it. I'm a grown man and I'm still perplexed by it. It had creeped me out as a kid, and I knew it wasn't a trick of the light. I remember trying the same thing my dad did, and nothing happened to it. The bizarre part was its shape. As mentioned earlier, it resembled the head and shoulders of a German shepherd, about 4 feet tall, somehow projected from the corner of my bed, tucked against the wall. Story 22. I used to work for Geek Squad, handling inbound inquiries about service calls that had already been scheduled. People would call in to either cancel or reschedule their appointments. For the most part, the job was pretty mellow, but there was one particular call that gave me chills. It was a Saturday night, and I was eagerly waiting to get off my shift. It was unusually quiet, so I figured I wouldn't get any more calls and started packing up early. Literally a minute before the end of my shift, a call came in. I reluctantly answered the phone. "Geek Squad, this is Agent David. How can I help you?" The lady on the other end was calm, but noticeably distraught. She began to tell me that she had received several calls from our organization about an in-home service scheduled for August 10th. I asked for her name, city, state, and zip code, standard procedure necessary to pull up her customer profile. I found her profile and confirmed that she did indeed have a service scheduled for August 10th. This is where things started to get a bit creepy. The woman on the other end told me that she never scheduled any services and that the calls were actually meant for her mother. As I read through the notes on her account, I saw that it was her mother who had set up the service. My first thought was that her mother had scheduled it for herself, but the original representative had accidentally set the appointment under her daughter's name. This wasn't entirely uncommon, as the customer database often brought up family members associated with a specific surname, address, city, or state. Another possibility was that the lady on the other line had used her mother's Visa to pay for a previous service. When this happens, the name of the cardholder automatically becomes the primary contact on the account. I did my due diligence and asked all these questions. The lady on the other end trembled. She said that, unfortunately, this wasn't possible. When I asked why not, she told me that her mother had died 3 years ago. To make things even creepier, her mother had passed away on August 10th. Both of us on the line were really, really freaked out. Story 23. This is a story my gran used to tell about something that happened to her when she was younger, sometime in the mid-60s. First, a little background. The city we live in has a lot of parks, including many of those small fenced-in gardens in the middle of squares. Its current name comes from the Gaelic for deer green place. Anyway, my gran worked in a theater, and after work she would take the last bus home at around midnight, then walk a short distance past one of these fenced-in communal gardens. Usually, the local policeman back in the days when people knew and were friendly with their local bobby would meet her off the bus. One night, she was on the bus when a sketchy man sat beside her, asking personal questions and generally making her uncomfortable. Eventually, she got up and stood near the bus driver. She was a regular passenger and knew she could rely on him for some friendly conversation to discourage the man. When the bus reached her stop, she stepped off. But her usual escort, the policeman, was nowhere in sight. To make matters worse, the sketchy man suddenly jumped up and got off the bus at the last moment. He walked away in the opposite direction, but he kept glancing over his shoulder at her as he did. The bus pulled away, and in the middle of the road stood a huge black dog. Already unsettled, she hurried toward home, her pace quickening as the dog followed at a steady distance of about 20 feet. It unnerved her even more. She turned a corner, entering the part of her route that passed the fenced-in garden. As she approached the open gate, the dog suddenly sprinted toward her, then stopped about 2 feet away. It began growling and barking, hackles raised, fixated on the direction of the garden. Understandably terrified, she sprinted for home. The dog followed, keeping a steady distance of a few feet the entire way. It could have easily caught her, but it seemed unwilling to. When she reached her building, the dog stopped and simply watched her go inside. She told my granddad that the moment she got into their flat and he looked out the window, there was no dog on the street, nothing. The next day, my grandparents learned that the friendly local cop had died of a heart attack the day before. A few days later, there were reports that a young woman had been attacked just a few streets away from my grandmother's route home, around 1 a.m. on that same night. Story 24. Before I get to the story with the suitcase, I need to give a little background. Many years ago, when I met my ex, she and her family lived in a mobile home. My ex has a younger sister who was a bit troubled, in and out of psychiatric wards, etc. My ex and her sister shared a room in the mobile home. While we were dating and before my son was born, my ex told me a story about her sister. Apparently, her sister would wake up and talk to a man in the hallway. The man always had a suitcase and wore a brimmed hat. My ex and her family dismissed it, thinking, well, her younger sister is a bit nuts. Flash forward a few years. My ex and I now had a son. Her parents had moved out of the mobile home and into a house, renting the mobile home to my ex. Our son's room was the exact same room my ex and her sister had shared. One night, after our son had been asleep for a while, I had checked on him. We heard him get out of bed. We assumed he would come out to use the potty, but instead he started talking to someone. He said, "Hi," and began talking about his favorite stuffed animal, which at the time was a ducky. Curious, I called back and asked who he was talking to. He poked his head out of his room and told me he was talking to the man with a suitcase, wearing a hat. At the time, he was only 2.5, and he had never heard the story about his aunt seeing the same man. Story 25. One strange occurrence that I can only describe as paranormal happened during a trip with my girl to the Linville Gorge Wilderness. We arrived at the Table Rock picnic area around 4 p.m., just as it started pouring rain like crazy. We put our pack covers on and began hiking south toward the Chimneys, a beautiful rock formation almost devoid of trees and a popular spot for rock climbers. After about 30 to 45 minutes of hiking through the torrential downpour, we realized we needed to find some shelter or camp. The clouds were getting darker and lower, and you could feel the electricity in the air. I knew it would be bad news if we didn't find something fast. My girl M was getting discouraged and frustrated, so I had her hunker down in a small depression off the trail with our packs while I ran ahead to look for a spot. I found a steep scramble running up to the left off the trail and decided to see where it led. At the top of the 20 to 30 foot scramble was the most perfect overhang or cave I've ever seen. It was exactly the right size for a 2 to 4 person tent and even had a fireplace slash kitchen jutting out at the front. By this time, it was almost completely dark. We hauled our packs up and got a fire started just as the thunder and lightning began. Incredible fingers of electricity streaked across the sky, making our hair stand on end with each crack. Dark green and black clouds swirled around the cave's mouth, limiting our vision to a 3 or 4 foot radius around the fire. After about an hour of this breathtaking display, the storm cleared and the wind blew the sky open. We cooked, ate, smoked, and had a drink while gazing across at the opposite ridge of the gorge. The Linville Gorge is roughly shaped like a parenthesis, with a deep valley and river between. The outer curves consist of high ridges that rise and fall, with trails spidering across and down into the valley. As we sat there enjoying the night, we noticed a headlamp in the distance on the opposite ridge. This was our first visit to the gorge, though we've been many times since, so we weren't exactly sure how far the opposite ridge really was. We watched as the headlamp flicked on and off, moving quickly across the ridge, losing and gaining elevation, yet always returning to the same general area. We assumed it was some brave hiker exploring at night, or maybe someone who had gotten lost. This part is hard to explain without knowing the gorge, but when we awoke in the morning and saw the opposite ridge, it became clear that it would have been impossible for someone to cover that much distance that...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy 4 select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
Quickly. We estimated the light was moving roughly a mile every 5 minutes in pitch black, while changing hundreds of feet in elevation every 10 to 15 minutes. To this day, I can offer no explanation whatsoever. There's an old urban legend about the non-native who discovered Linville Gorge, John Linville. He was hiking with his son and his servant when the three became separated. It's believed that Linville and his son either had a confrontation with a group of natives or died in the wilderness. The legend says their servant continued searching for them alone for over a week, both day and night, carrying a lantern in the dark. On a related note, if you've heard of the Brown Mountain Lights, I've witnessed them a couple of times. I thought the stories were all nonsense until then. Story 26. I have an unexplainable story to tell that happened to me. A few months ago, I had a really scary dream that felt incredibly real. In the dream, I was in bed, doing something on my laptop, when I suddenly got a terrible feeling that something wasn't right, like I somehow knew something was in my room that shouldn't be there. I jumped off the bed and hurried to flip on the light. I turned it on just in time to see this weird black shadow sphere with legs zooming under my bed. I woke up scared and crying, but it felt so real, and I just knew whatever I saw was very evil. The next day, my dad and I were watching one of those ghost shows, like My Ghost Story, on TV. In the episode, a woman was in her room when she suddenly felt something was wrong. She flipped on her light just in time to see a weird black shadow sphere with legs scurry under her bed, almost exactly like what I had seen in my dream. I completely freaked out. Story 27. After we got married, my wife and I bought our first house. It was brand new, and we were the first owners in a newly developed neighborhood. There had long been rumors that it was built over an old Aboriginal burial ground, a la Pet Cemetery, though I never found any proof and always thought it was nonsense. I'm not religious in any way, and definitely don't believe in ghosts. My wife never thought anything was odd about the place, but I did. Nothing outright scary, just a weird vibe, if that makes sense. I wasn't the only one who noticed it. In the first year, we went on two trips and had two different friends house-sit for us. Each of them said afterward that there was something strange about the place they couldn't quite put their finger on, and neither ever agreed to house-sit there again. Around year three, I was asleep in the middle of the night when I woke up to a strange noise, the soft swish-swish sound of someone walking quietly on carpet in socks. It sounded like someone was moving around our bedroom. I wasn't the only one who noticed. While my wife remained fast asleep, our two cats, both of which slept on the bed with me, woke up and started tracking their heads in the direction of the sound as it moved. After about 20 seconds, one of the cats meowed at it. Not angrily or fearfully, more like a hello. The sound stopped. Both cats stared at the last spot it had come from for another 20 seconds or so, then put their heads down and went back to sleep. I stayed awake for a very long time. I eventually talked my wife into moving, and 3 months later, we bought a new place. I've never experienced anything like that before or since. Story 28. My grandmother told me this story a few years ago, and I still get chills thinking about it. She was living in Louisiana with my step-grandfather Bill in a small apartment complex. One day, a nicely dressed man came to the door, claiming that other tenants were having trouble with their AC units and that he was inspecting them. She opened the door to let him in. When Bill and his sister came around the corner, the repairman immediately stepped back outside and said he would come back later when they didn't have company. Several hours later, my grandmother heard sirens outside. When she went to find out what happened, someone told her that a woman had been offed in her apartment and the killer had gotten away. Months later, my grandmother was sitting in her den watching TV when a special report came on about Ted Bundy. When his face appeared, she immediately recognized him as the AC repairman. Thank you for watching. If you enjoyed this video, be sure to give it a thumbs up, subscribe, and hit the bell icon so you never miss an update.